You know, I often think that I don't give a very good shiur. That's why almost no one comes to my shiurim. So maybe I should try singing. So I try singing, but I don't think they're going to come to hear me sing either. David Peretz, you know so much Torah that you're my Rebbe. There's no reason you should be here. My sweetest friends, Shemitah. It's probably should we talk about Shemitah. I don't really want to talk about Shemitah because I'm a city boy, and Shemitah's for farmers. That's not really what I want to talk about Shemitah. The Sfasema says, Ki mitzvah Shemitah lobo ala achdus. Bahar, Svi Moshe, Taf Reish Mem Aleph. Lobo ala achdus. Unity. Unity. Sfasema is Bahar Taf Reish Lamed Hei. Kvi achdus obene Yisrael, Yichon lakayim zil sa mitzvah. To the extent that we have achdus, you can fulfill this mitzvah. What is Shemitah? 6 years you work the field. And in the seventh year, you take a sabbatical. Where does the concept of sabbatical come from? Shemitah. Shemitah. You take off the seventh year. Hey, David Peretz, I didn't mean that as an insult. It was a compliment, David Peretz. You know, a lot of big mass of David Peretz. When I see you, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing to myself. I watch too much TV. Maybe they should have like different programming. They should put on Bubba Basser on TV. So like guys will take advantage of their time even when they're watching. So in the seventh year you don't work, and really it's about Achdus. Seventh year, all the class systems are deconstructed. Everybody's equal. Nobody's working. Field is Hefker. Everybody could come eat. Sense of unity. It's a sense of togetherness. It's not who's going to make more. In a capitalistic society, it's a dog-eat-dog world. I wanted your spot in college. You want my spot in college. So one of the guys before said people don't want to come back Shanabed because they're afraid they're going to have to push off their careers for a year. But either way, if you don't come back Shanabed, then you're pushing off your career totally because your career is to be at Ben Torah. So anyway, that's my Shanabed speech. Back to our show. So it brings people together. The seventh year is supposed to bring people to Achdus. Everybody loves everybody else. It's not competitive. It's not my bakery against your bakery. Rashi says, Manyan Shemitah to Har Sinai. What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? It says, it talks about Shemitah, and then it says Shemitah was said at Har Sinai Lemur. Right, what's the lashon of the pasuk? She really have a chumash, but the truth is, Ravami only told me I'm speaking literally. How long ago did I start? I started 3 minutes ago. He told me 3 minutes and 15 seconds ago. But I thought about it just in case. So, it says at the beginning about Mount Sinai. What did Moshe say when he got to the top of Mount Sinai? This looks like a great place for a hospital. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'har Sinai le'mor daber b'nei Yisrael v'telling Yisrael l'aretz. Moshe said at Har Sinai, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, for the Brits in New York, there's a hospital called Mount Sinai. I want the Brits to feel left out. Go Arsenal. Okay, now everyone feels here. So it says Har Sinai, and then it talks about Shemitah. And then the land should rest, Shabbos Lashem. So I have to thank Rav Mishpacha Ben Attar for using their Or Chaim. So what does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? That's a famous question. So it says that we were at Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. We encamped opposite the mountain. But what does the pasuk say? Vayichan. It says Vayachanu. It could be Lashon Rabim. Or it doesn't even have to use the word Vayichan. What's the Lashon Yachid Vayichan? So what does Rashi say? Who knows the famous Rashi, everybody? Kishachad Beleidacha. We were unity. We were unified. We were one. And Har Sinai were one. And Shemitah's one. And it says Vayichan. What do Hasidim say? Vayichan. Yichan means encamped. But it could also mean charming. Charm. Chen is charm. Depends how you write. C-H-E-N. If you write it, if you pronounce it like an American would, it's the name of a Chinese person. And if you pronounce it like a Jew would, it means charm. Or charm, I guess. So what's this chain? What's this chen? Vayichan Sham Yisrael. Every Jew had charm in other Jews' eyes. That was encamping opposite the mountain. And if there was one Jew, the rabbis say, who didn't like another Jew, he said, he's one of those smelly Hasidim. He says something like that, no Matan Torah. No matan. It's not true, by the way, because Hasidim go to mikveh every day, and there's a mikveh and there's a shower, and Hasidim are very clean. It's an anti-Semitic invective that, unfortunately, sometimes Jews, fortunately, what the goyim say, we also say about ourselves sometimes. But Hasidim don't necessarily smell. Not that no Hasidim smell, but there are people who aren't Hasidim also smell. There's no kesher between Hasidus and smelling. That's clear. So Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, that they had chayin in each other's eyes. Vayichan, there was charm. Every Jew, you look at a guy Lubavitch, you love him. You love him. You look at a guy Yemenite, he's Sparty, he goes to Reshit, he goes to Karabiyavne, he goes to Lakewood, he goes to university, wherever he is, you see another Jew, you love him. That's Har Sinai, and that's also what Shemitah is supposed to be about. So I thought this would be the best opportunity to talk about my favorite topic under the sun, friendship. Chazal were very into friendship. Being a friend, what does it mean to be a friend? So like most things, people don't give it all that much thought, because it just sort of comes naturally. Everybody wants friends. So, I heard a story, Maitzer Shaya Gachaya. There was once a very wealthy man, and when things were good, he had a lot of friends. A lot of friends. And people come visit him, and how are you? And give him a lot of kavod. And we know that life is a galgal choser be'olam. It's a wheel, it turns. Sometimes you're on the up, and sometimes you're on the down. So, his fortunes took a turn for the worse. Like somebody told me about somebody who went down from $7 billion to $4 billion. So I wish that upon the person who told me the story, and I wish it upon myself as well. I should go down. Those should be my tzaros. I should go down from 7 to 4. And if I dip under 4 a little bit, we'll manage. And I give you guys the same exact bracha. And don't forget to send your maestro to Nativ Aryeh. So, and then we can forgive not coming back Shana Bet. But if you don't make that amount of money, then we'll never forgive. So, Vayiran Shami Yisrael. So anyway, so his fortunes took a turn for the worse. And lo and behold, no more friends. Where did all my friends go? Nobody talks to him anymore. Nobody looks at him. All these yeshivas, they used to come, and the fundraiser would come, and the Rosh Yeshiva would come, and he was, oh, how are you, Mr. Friedman, or whatever. Friedman means happy. Friedman, he was happy man. And then afterwards, he was Mr. Sadman. So how are you, Mr. Sadman? How's life? How's your... Oh, I saw your son recently. Such a nice boy. Such a Ben Torah. All the attention stuff. Except for one guy. There was one guy who remembered the good old days, and he used to still come, and give him kavod. How are you? I just make up the name Friedman. How are you, Mr. Friedman? How are things? How's your family? It's so nice to see you. He remembered him. And obviously the person took it to heart. And then, we know that life is a wheel, and then he was on the up and up again. Ah, the up and up. Guess what, all of a sudden he had a lot of friends. A lot of new friends who were really old friends. And everybody's coming, oh, how are you? It's so nice. It's been so long, Mr. Friedman. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Oh, what do they want? What do they want? They want him to show how much he trusts in God by giving him them lots of pieces of paper that say so. Yes? So, he's way up. In the end, he gave them small sums. He didn't want to be mean. But his large donations, he reserved for this person. That's the old, Shlach lachmecha al pnei amayim, send your bread over the water, said the wisest of all men. Because Barov Yamim, at the end of many days, it's going to come back to you. When you do good acts in this world, I have limitless stories on the topic, but not limitless time. Although this week, I don't have to, there's not going to be an intense talk about like there was last week. So it was a little bit anticlimactic after the 18-minute comedy routine to hear about, soldiers being murdered. So this week, that's not going to happen this week. I forgot to tell you, no more soldiers are going to be murdered. Mashiach is coming, and that's it. The bad guys are going down, and the good guys are going up. So, amen. We started with the worst of the worst. He went down, and then everyone, all the Qaeda guys are going down with him. Go fly a Qaeda. So, the point I'm trying to make is, he had a lot of friends. So, many stories, you do good, and then it comes back to you. When you do bad, it also comes back to haunt you. But you see that they weren't really his friend. They weren't really. They just wanted one thing out of him. And unfortunately, all too often in life, that's what friendship is. What can I get out of this person? So, I have a Rebbe. Name is Moshe. Rav Moshe, I don't know what his last name is, but they just go by his father's name, Ben Maimon. Rav Moshe ben Maimon and Pirkei Avos, he says, "Uknei lecha chaver, you should acquire for yourself a friend." The famous Rambam, but it bears repeating. I'm guessing there might be one or two people who might not have heard it. And if you have, I always like to say it over. Not always. There are other things also. The chaverim shosim sugim. There are three types of friends. Three categories. Chaver toeles, a friend of benefit. Chaver hanoa, a friend of pleasure. By the way, if anybody wants to get a set of Pirkei Avos, people are always in the book buying business. So the Mishnas Ruvein on Pirkei Avos with the Rishonim, that's where you start. When you start your Pirkei Avos, is the first book you get, published by Masada Rav Kook, whose sale just ended. And then you move on from there. You write your own parish, but this has all the Rishonim, all the important, not all, the many important commentaries with footnotes. It's a pleasure to read. Okay, so anyway, he says, number one, a friend for benefit, that's Toelas. Number two, Chaver Ana, a friend for pleasure. And number three, Chaver Naale. What does this mean? So let us think now. Guys, this is a group therapy session. Yeah, so let's not go to sleep. Let's not ignore me. I remember there was one guy who came up to me, a great guy, in some of the Kota recently. He came one time, he said to me, "I didn't hear a word you said until January." So here I was on Thursday, and I thought I was talking to him, but I really wasn't. He didn't hear me until January. In January, he woke up, and he heard me, he said, "Well, you're good." I don't know if he said that. I put that into his mouth right now. What's a Chaver Toeles? A Chaver Toeles is two people who are Shnei Shutfin, two partners. Two partners, you can get benefit from your partner. Or Chaver HaMelech Mitzvah, like in the army. You watch him, he watches you. Everybody has to work as a team. In business, that's a type of friend. Do you really care about this person? No. But you want to get this benefit from this person, and the person wants to get a benefit from you. So I was like, I make friends pretty easily. At least I think I do. So I always like going up to America to these fancy weddings, and then some young, handsome black man dressed in a nice, nice clothing comes up to the car, and we give him the keys, and then he drives the car away, and I look at his thing, and it says, Dwayne Wilson. I say, "Thank you so much, Dwayne." And he says, "Thank you, sir. Have a great day." Now, what do I want him for? I want him to go park my car. What does he want me for? For the $5 tip that I'm going to give him. So me and Dwayne, we really, well, chas v'chalila. That's the way it often is. That's not the way it is with me, because I happen to really care about Dwayne. I often think to myself, "Dwayne, if you just learn Gemara, it's much more fun than parking people's cars for them." So anyway, so you make friends with the, but it's really, you're getting a benefit from him, and he's getting a benefit from you. But you don't really care about each other. Or you're working for somebody, you're in shul, people say, "Oh, go to your temple and network." That's what the non-Jews and non-religious Jews think temple is for networking, right? So you go to your temple and you want to network, and you see a guy who's runs a big hedge fund, and you're a hedger, you want a hedge, so your Rebbeim always tells you have a good hedge. So you go, "Oh, how are you, Mr. Steinberg? Good Shabbos, so nice to see you." Or you like his daughter, whatever it may be. You're talking about a rich man, Chaver Toeles, the benefit, and maybe he can benefit from you. People tell me they do these summer internships. I say, "Oh wow, what does that mean?" "It's, well, I have to work all summer, eight to six. I say, "How much you get paid?" "Nothing. Nothing." I say, "What are you doing that for?" He said, "I can write on my resume." "You idiot, I can write it on my resume also. You don't have to do it. You do it and write it on your resume? You either do it, don't do it and write it on your resume, or do it. Then what do you have to write on your resume for? You did it." So anyway, that's not so honest. So that's a toilet. He's going to get a benefit from you, because you're going to be his indentured servant for 2 months, and you're going to get a benefit from him, and you're going to be able to write in your resume that you work, and then maybe afterwards he's going to give you a job, and then you'll be his indentured servant for the time to come, but it'll help you make a lot of money. Good. So that's a Chaver Toeles. That's not the type of friends we want. That's not the real thing. Is that the real thing? No. Chaver Hanoa Hushnei Sugim. The Rambam's like a little bit of a brisker, the Rambam. He likes to categorize things. Brisk came only about 20, 25 years before the Rambam. Hushnei Sugim. Chaver Tanug v'Chaver Bitachon. What's a Chaver Tanug? It rhymes with hurls. Girls. There's a certain amount of pleasure that a guy gets from a girl, and a girl gets from a guy. How do I know that? Because I used to listen to non-Jewish music, And that's what every song is about. About the pleasure that he can't live without her, and she can't live without him, and the moments they spent together were oh so special, and he's going to die if he doesn't see her soon. Right? If it's not love, then it's the bomb that'll bring us together, as one of the famous rock groups said in the 1980s. Yes, so it's about pleasure. And you like to look at her. Yes, and she likes, you know, whatever, you know, you're going to pick her up in your car, and you're going to take her places, and she feels good, and she feels loved, she's like, yeah, and you feel good, and you're going to buy her a present, she's going to buy you a present. And then, try having a kid by yourself. Go to the Kotel 40 days. Yes, go to Rabbi David Abu Chatzera. Go to the Kever of Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri. You're not going to do it. It hasn't happened yet. A man having a child all by himself. Children, our offspring, our future. That can only be provided by the opposite gender. So you like that. That's a pleasure. And what about a girl? A girl also needs a guy. So you get pleasure from her, and she gets pleasure from you. But do you really love her? If people really love their spouses, you know who would go out of business? Divorce lawyers. Because they would have nothing to do anymore. Because no matter what it is, I don't care how you treat me. I love you. You do whatever, I love you. What can I do for you today? And she's Sim, and what can I do for you today? Yes, so that's the ideal relationship where they really love each other. Why do people get divorced? What's the number one reason? Because they're not getting the pleasure from their spouse that they thought they were going to get. Whatever it may be. There could be a million different reasons. But it's a matter of pleasure. And then when people go out and graze in foreign pastures, if you will, so why are they doing that? Because the chaver hanah that they're getting there, they're looking for other chaver hanahs. No, I'm very serious. I mean, where does that come from? It comes from the fact that this person was a chaver hanah, and there's no more hanah anymore. And maybe that's a secret. You want to come Thursday night, Shabbos, Parshas Ba'ar, before we go to Hebron, to our Bubby and Zadie's kever, please remind them of their great-great-grandson Ali, that God should give him blessing, that to Shem and Ruchni and Gashmi, daven for me, I'll be happy to daven for you. I'm going to be there, Mr. Shem, this Shabbos, very, very special Shabbos. I'm going to be spending Shabbos, you're not going to believe it, in the old city of Jerusalem. You've heard of that, Shmuel? It's special. So they're not getting, so the secret is, you're not marrying this person for the pleasure that they give you, because she's pretty, because she's fun to be with, because you like her personality, because, you're married because you really, really love her for who she is. You don't love her for yourself. You love her for... So, you know, like the famous, there was a machlokes between Plato and Aristotle, what it means to be a true friend. So Plato said that really a friend is opposites attract. But Aristotle, tiny, said, what are you talking about? I read this in a sefer. I don't read Plato or Aristotle. I play with Plato, but I don't read. So, what are you talking about? If it's that, if it's the opposite, then it's really only for me, because I want this person to give me something that I don't have. He says that it's like, you know, the famous Maisa with the fish, right? That a guy, a Martian, comes down. The story's been repeated ad infinitum. I don't even know what that means. But lots of times. Yeah. So a guy comes down from Mars, and he goes to a restaurant, and the waitress says, excuse me, sir, what can I give you? And he says, oh, I love fish. So she brings him fish, and the guy watching sees, assumes that if he loves fish, he's never been to planet Earth before, I don't know how he speaks English, but he studied in Mars, he studied English as a second language. So he says, if he loves fish, what's he going to do with the fish? He's going to take the fish, he's going to feed the fish, he's going to put the fish in his aquarium, he's going to sing to the fish, or he's going to go to the fish's concert, right? So what is what does he do? What does he do? He takes a knife, and he stabs the fish. I don't know why I had to spit on Sri Moshe as I was saying that. But we want the news, not the weather. He stabs the fish. And then what does he do? He loves the fish. Would you do that? You go up to a girl. He says, Mama, this is like a perfect movie, you know, when he's heartbroken. I love you. And then he takes out this big knife, you know, his eyes. So, oh, I love fish. And then he starts cutting into the fish, cuts it into small pieces. And then to show how much he loves the fish, he takes it into his mouth. He starts crushing his heart. You know how hard teeth are? Teeth are very, very, I don't know if you've ever been bitten. Yes? But teeth are hard. So he's biting into it, and then he starts biting into it more, and then he puts it to the back of his mouth, and he's biting and biting, and then he liquefies it, and then he swallows it. And then what does he do with that? And then he takes another piece, and he does it again. He literally eats up the fish alive. Yes, like when the Dolphins were beaten in the Super Bowl, whatever. So, I'm a Dolphin fan. The Dolphins. Is Bob Greasy still playing? Who's a football fan here? Is Bob Greasy still playing? I love Bob Greasy. Joe Namath? So anyway, so he's eating you don't love the fish. Who do you love? You love yourself. You love the way the fish makes you feel. So you don't really love this girl. You love the way the girl makes you feel. And let's say she stops making you feel good after a while. Then you're just going to stop loving her. Right, I can't stop loving you. Right, that's one of the songs. I can't stop loving you because you make me feel good. But the second you stop making me feel good, or the second at the studio I meet somebody else, I can stop loving you, and then I can't stop loving her. It's just that's the way the world is. But that's not real friendship, and that's not real love. Oh, so that's Chaver Tanik. That was fun. Next, Chaver Bitachon. What's a Chaver Bitachon? That you rely on somebody. You don't have to worry about him. You can tell him your secrets. He's not going to tell anybody else. He's not going to embarrass you. You know you can trust this person. Your secrets are safe with him. That's a chaver bitachon. But do you really like him? No, but you need somebody to confide in. Why? Because it saves you the $225 an hour a professional would take. So you have a friend. You can tell him your secrets. So that's is that real friendship? No. So Baruch Hashem, we've spoken about what isn't real friendship. And a lot of times when we think about our own friendships, we realize that maybe some of our friends maybe are in some of these categories. What's real friendship? Omer HaRambam, says the Rambam, Hebrew, Chaver Lidavon Na'aleh, Hu Shetiyeh K'miya Shneim HaMatrosim L'Nyan Echot, V'Hu Asiyas Tov. A true friend is Dover Na'aleh. You want to do good. You and your friend have one world goal in life. You want to do good. And each one of them wants to be helped by his friend so that they can both bring the world to a greater good. And when the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Knei lecha chaver," acquire for yourself a friend, what type of friend are we talking about? A chaver na'aleh. The real friend. Not a friend that you can go to the movies with on Saturday night. And not a friend who's, you know, going to help you understand the Gemara or can give you rides. A real friend is somebody that you both have a common goal in life. Your goal is to do good. That's what it means to be a friend. Friend means, I want to do good to you and I want to do good to the world. And the other guy says, I want to do good to you and I also want to do good to the world. Let's be friends. Actually, interesting. For years I was wondering. For years. Shot, I don't know, for years, but a really, really long time, probably for years. In Hebrew we say chaver, right? And another word for chaver is areya. Like we say about a couple, Yitzhak, still getting married in Mitzvah Shem in 2 months, there's going to be fireworks when he gets married in Mitzvah Shem, right before his wedding, fireworks, mamish. He's getting married right after July 4th. So, I love that. So, we say Sameh to Sameh Reim Ahuvim. What is Reya? What's the Shorash of what is Reya? What does it really mean besides friends? Ra, evil. Evil. Why is evil the same word as the word for a friend? Ever think about that? Now you did. Reya Atzma. The truth is, Rav Futner has a eulogy. It's out. That he gave Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, also to Tzal. And he has a very profound essay on this topic. I will direct you to it. And I actually wanted to see what he said. But I told you that I only found out I was speaking about 30 seconds before. So I didn't have the opportunity to read it again properly. But I read it a number of years ago, and it is nothing less than awesome. But, what's this idea, on a simpler level, of Reya? Ra is evil? And chaver, as a matter of fact, the pasuk says, "Tiroeim b'shevet barzel." Ra, in Hebrew, the word for shaky is ra'ua. Something shaky, something broken. That's ra. And then ra is also trua. What's a trua? It's a broken sound. It's actually interesting. What does the pasuk say? It says about the Jewish people that we are, what's the pasuk? That we are, it's talking about, we're Hashem's friend. Utruas melech bo. Utruas melech bo. That we are friends with the king. How's, what's the first part of the pasuk? Doesn't work to press buttons. Computer works. You can do a search, but I was trying to do a search in my head for the beginning of the pasuk, and it escaped me, as things usually do when I'm trying to think of them. In any event, I know I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night and say, "Oh, I'm going to bring the pasuk." Don't remember. But anyway, so that's the Rav's friend. Friend, how's Hashem a friend? What's a friend? Ra. So first of all, I once heard that how do you know when someone's really your friend? When things are ra. That's what we were talking about before. When things are bad, is he your friend? Like, I even wrote down a couple of psukim that it says in Mishlei, the wisest of all men, he says, Rabim yichalu p'nei nediv. V'chol harea le'ish matan, that a lot of people are friendly with the rich guy, but kol achai rosnei, what kimrei rochagumi man, when you're poor, you don't have so many friends. Oh, it says about Yaakov, that Yaakov told Esav how rich he got. Because he knows that if he tells Esav he's rich, Esav's going to be nice to him. Because people by nature like to, you know, be nice to rich people. So that's one idea. But another idea I saw is that Raz, we said it's like something shaky. It's something broken. If you're to be a friend means that you realize without this person you're broken, that you need this person and this person needs you. So that's why a lot of times in this world we don't look at it that way. We look at it, the world revolves around me. That's the way a baby looks at the world, and many people live their lives that way. And as to the extent that he's doing, you know, for me, then good, and if not, not. But to realize that we're all like broken parts, and everybody needs everybody else, right? That's what it always says about the machzis hashekel, why we only give a half a shekel and not a whole shekel. Everybody realizes they're a half, and that's how we beat the enemies, right? What did Haman say? Yesh na'amachad mefuzim refuad. They're scattered. So the Chazal say, to beat Haman, we give our shekelim. To show that we're not scattered. That everybody realizes they're connected. So that's the reya, is that everybody's connected. So the chaver nale, what does the Rambam say about the chaver nale? The chaver nale, that's the type of friend that you're supposed to knei lecha chaver. So chaver, this chibur, by the way, what happens if you scramble letters of chibur? What do you get? Chaver, what do you get? Charev. Charev. What's charev? Destruction. That's what happens. You want, either it's going to be a good friend, that's this world. Either it's friend, or ultimately it leads to destruction. Right? In the 1900s, how many people were killed? Tens of millions? Maybe hundreds of millions? Certainly tens of millions. Why? It was chalev. People didn't know how to be chaver. What's world history? World history is, you have two countries, two plots of land, and then one guy says to himself, hey, I deserve that other plot of land. So they come in and they start killing, and then they get, you know, 50 kilometers of land or 50 miles of land. Now they are there. Now instead of calling it Hungary, you call it Czechoslovakia. And then 15 years later, the guy in Hungary says, hey, that belonged to us. And then they come back, and another few hundred thousand people are killed. And then they get back to 50 miles, and then it just keeps going back and forth. The borders keep moving, and people keep dying. That's what it is. It's the madness of man, all of wars. If you ever look at world history, how many people have been killed? Why are people killed? Think about it. Why people are killed? People are killed. People are maimed. Women become widowed. Children become orphans. Why? Because a guy wakes up and he says, no, that piece of land is mine. They all kill each other, and there's bloodshed, and there's hatred, and there's venom. And then they got the land, then they come back. Nobody ever, has anybody in world history ever won a war? Has anyone ever won a war? Nobody ever won. Everybody loses because people are always dying. What do you get in the end? Oh, on the side, you also get a, like Mrs. Lincoln. You know, at least that night she got to see a good show. Right? Her husband was killed, she also got to see a good show. That's not a benefit you'd want to get in life. You got a little bit more, that's what it is. People are bad mitos. People are bad mitos, saying the world revolves around me, and they go out and they kill. So that's why, because people don't know how to be a chaver. What's a chaver? A chaver is you want to bring to the greater good. So what's the greater good? So you see, you say, oh, how can we bring to the greater good? Oh, my land, my country has a lot of people, and we don't have enough room. Maybe, you know, you'll let us in. Oh, okay, well, we'll help you and you'll help us. Why are there hungry people in the world? You ever go to the King David on a Shabbos afternoon? There's enough there to feed at least one African country. Right? Why are they hungry? Because they're bad people. If people would just work together, there's enough to feed everybody. But they don't want to. And then you have, you know, these warlords over there, and they're all killing, and they won't let the food in, and they're all killing each other, and then people want to help, and then the UN comes in, and they don't let them in, and then they steal, and they kill, and because people are just bad. People don't know what it means to be a friend. What's a friend? So you have something. So you want to share. You want to bring to a greater good. But I see in the world today, It's hard to find that person. That person who's a chaver. You want to bring to the greater good. You want to bring the world to a greater good. You want to bring your friend to a greater good. What does it mean? What does it mean, Lamaisa? What does it mean? It means is you wake up in the morning. It starts off very simply. By the way, all the... Just think about how the world would look if people were like... There'd be nobody at the cash register. Why are there people at the cash register? You ever think about that? Why there's somebody standing behind a cash register? Because we're choshed every single person, we suspect a person of stealing. Otherwise, we would just have a big box of money, and everybody would come in with a calculator. They'd have calculators there. Everyone make their own cheshbon, put in the amount of money and leave. Is there one store in the world that does that? That's one. Maybe in your mother's kitchen, she lets you go and take food, but you don't have to pay. What?
Dauber.
What does Dauber do?
Sells the candies.
What is it?
Sells the candies.
Oh, he's... Dauber's a man of trust. And he knows that everybody in this world you can trust. But you know what? Despite the fact that Dauber's a man... It happens to be that every year in yeshiva, every year there's stories of theft. Every year. Everyone steals from Dauber. Dauber wants... He wants to be mechaper. He's already... He is no averis, Dauber. So he wants to kapar for our averis. So every year, every yeshiva I've been to, every yeshiva, I don't... Maybe I've not been. I've been to a bunch of yeshivas, and I always remember stories. He was stealing. You have to lock doors. But that shouldn't be the world. The world should be... Nobody's going to steal. You clear out all the jails. Nobody's in jail. People just want to do good. And that's what ultimately, that's what the world is going towards. The world is going to this case of... Or what does it say in the Gemara? That the yisod of kol... That's the yisod of kol Torah kula. Right? Of ha'afdol reach and kamocha. To be somebody who really is a real chaver. You want to bring... Just like yourself, you want good for yourself. You also want good for the other person. So you care. And you think, what can I do for this person? How can I make this person's life better? That's your attitude. The first thing when you wake up in the morning. What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning usually? You think about yourself. How tired I am. That's usually what you think about in the morning. No, you mow down. You know you're going to have to mumble something, but you get a reward afterwards. Breakfast. Yeah. So you mumble a little bit. You strangle your arm a little bit. You stop the circulation. But it's all a shame shemaim. Afterwards, you're going to get breakfast. But you think, whoever wakes up in the morning and thinks to himself, I wonder how Gilad Shalit feels this morning. I wonder how he feels. You know, being in Arab captivity in over 4 years. Imagine, you ever go to the zoo? You ever go to the zoo and you see the lion over there in the lion's den? And zoo. I wonder why they don't have TVs in the lion's den. So you see a bunch of those animals, horrible animals, and they would just eat you up alive if they could. Imagine living with them for a few years. But they're not killing him because obviously they want to use him as a pawn. How do you think he feels? How do you think his dad feels? Probably not so good. So you think, what can I do for him today? That's a Jewish thought. What can I do for him today? I don't know, maybe call up the White House, you know, say, tell Mr. Obama that I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and I didn't vote for him because I think he's going to be a lousy president. I was right, and he should do something to free Gilad Shalit. Right? You may have a nice, loving message like that. Right? How does he feel? Well, alternatively, you see, you walk down, you're walking upstairs, and you see there's a chole. Somebody is sick. So what's the name? The name is, you know, Yenta Rezel Sprinza Bas Chayetzivya. So you say, oh, Yenta Rezel, you're much too busy. You're much too busy. Why? Because you just bought a Reese's peanut butter cup off Dauber. Yeah. So you're going to now dip your thing. But what about this poor woman? This poor woman is having surgery. They're going to stick a knife in her brain. How do you think she feels? How do you think her children feel? How do you think her grandchildren feel? What can I do for her? You stop, you say, 12 o'clock, night seder's over, I'm running to the kotel. I'm running, not to make yourself crazy, you don't have to run around like you're from the Salvation Army, you know, one of these weird Christians who's, you know, always walking around, you know, being like he's such a good person. Oh, you know, priest, you wanted to get to the world, and this and that. But to be a regular, normal guy, and to just walk around and think, oh! So you stop, I'm going to go to the kotel later. You have a little machine, a little piece of plastic in your pocket. You take it and you say, now it's Friday afternoon. Who can I make happy with a phone? Not who do I want to speak to. Who can I make happy with a phone call? How about my great aunt? I'll say this like a Brit. Auntie. What about my great auntie? You know, she's, partly senile. But it's great. This way I can call her up. And call her up 5 minutes later and she'll appreciate both calls because she doesn't remember the first one. So I'll call up my great auntie. I'll say, oh, great auntie, how are you feeling today? And she'll tell you about all her aches and pains. And you'll moan and groan a little bit with her. And you get off the phone, saying, oh, who else can I call? And I can call maybe so-and-so doesn't have so many friends. And I'll give him a call. And I'll call up my mother. And I won't tell my mother that I'm not feeling well on a lousy week in yeshiva, even though that's what happened. I'll tell my mother how much I love her and how much I appreciate the fact that she sent me to yeshiva this year. And that if she wants me to be religious, you better send me back another year. No! Not this phone call. That's a different phone call. This phone call! I love you, Mom! Just say, I love you, Mom. And you use the machine only to do good. Only to do good. Remember, if the machine's only to do good, then when you're davening, you're not playing with the machine. When you're davening, they had this video that my kids showed me. That it was like the guy was reading Megillas Esther, and as he was reading Megillas Esther, he was texting at the same time. And so you see, and then three guys were in the part of the video. Three guys were davening. You know, one guy's phone went off, and you know he wasn't not such a religious looking guy. You know, a little yarmulke, and the other two guys, no, and they're really upset at him. But you know, and he's. You know, he starts talking, and then they really get annoyed at him, and then he puts his phone back in his pocket, and then another guy gets, the more religious guy gets a call in the middle, no, what are you talking about? I told you not. And then he starts talking. And then there was a really firm guy, and then all of a sudden at the end, you know, they all have their taluses over their heads, and they're all shuckling back and forth, screaming on the phone. So I saw that thing, and then I was in davening like the next day, and I see a guy literally in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei like this. He was, you know, mumbling his Shemoneh Esrei, and he was playing around with his phone, saying, but it's only for good. I only have the phone for good. So you always ask yourself, is it bringing better, more good to humanity if I'm using this or I'm not using this? Or come Saturday night, how am I going to bring more good to the world? How am I going to bring more good to my neshama? What am I going to do with my time? What type of friends am I going to hang out with? Or let's say, I'm making future plans. Am I making my future plans because I think I'm bringing more good to me? I'm going to be a chaver tov to me and the rest of humanity? Or just me? That's what I often talk to people about the future, and it's rare that I hear that. What can I do? I want to be metaka in the world. There's a prayer that some Jews say every day. It's a prayer that you're supposed to say. It's a special minhag to say it as you're rapping. L'sakein olam b'malchus shaddai. Remember that part? That's as you're rapping, it's filling. What does that mean? It means I want to fix the world. How do I want to fix the world? B'malchus shaddai. Under the kingdom of Hashem. When I make plans, is this going to help me fix the world under Malchus Shaddai? It's just a complete different way of looking at the world. It's not about me. It's not about my professional success. That's the American Avodah Zarah of me and getting ahead, all this nonsense. It's about the world. I want to make the world a better. I want to make the world a holier place. I want the chosen people. How many of them are us? How many of them are us? How many of us are there? How many real Jews are there in this world? Real sincere Jews in this world. How many? Not so many. Not so, a few hundred thousand. A million. Not so, very, very, very few. How many people are there in the world? 6 billion. So we're a very, very small percentage. So I have a very important task. It depends what your attitude is. And such a person is not, he'll never do bad. I know to be, you're about to speak Lashon Hara. You wouldn't even, you don't even have a notion to speak Lashon. You don't even have a half a minute to speak Lashon. Because it brings bad. It's not a chaver. You're a chaver tov. And you're a chaver. It says in Rashi, Masechet Shabbos, you're friends with God. You're friends with God. God's your friend. What do you mean to be God's friend? I love that Rashi. Rashi, Masechet Shabbos. You're God's friend. What does it mean to be God's friend? I'm only going to do what God wants me to do. I want to be a faithful friend. Not a good friend otherwise. You know, Chazal say, if you're learning Torah and you interrupt, so it's like being unfaithful to your spouse. That's what Gemara says. Why? I'm not being unfaithful to my... Why? I stopped my learning. I stopped. There's an important game. What's the answer? Answer is, when you're learning Torah, that's being married to God. Torah, tziva lanu Moshe, morasha ki osiaka. What's morasha? Me'orasa. That's the... Torah, we're engaged, we're betrothed to God. So if you're betrothed to somebody, and then you stop with her, your mom is you walking down the street with a girl, and you're engaged to her, and you're walking with her, and you're walking with her, and all of a sudden you see a girl, your eyes start popping out, you just make a complete about face, and you start walking the other direction with the other girl. What does that mean? First of all, it means that you're dumped. That's the first thing. It's over. The relationship is over. And the girl's going to be very hurt. You'd be very hurt. You're learning with God. You're God's friend. You're learning His Torah. He gave you this love letter. Abba Rabba Tanu. You're learning, and then you stop. Why do you stop? Because your phone rang. I always think when the phone rings in my house and I'm learning, I think there was only one person or one being on that phone who could be nearly as important, who can justify me stopping my learning. And that is Hashem. If Hashem's on the line, then okay. So I'm trying to understand what Hashem is saying, and maybe he's on the line telling me what, you know, what's shot. But otherwise, who could possibly be on the phone? That's I'm learning Hashem's Torah. Hashem is talking to me. Hashem's telling me how to live. That's not a good friend. So to be a good friend, a faithful friend, is that you always think, what's going to bring the greater good to my friend and to the world? If you have such an attitude, I'm saying, overnight you become a tzaddik. Overnight, your money, people love their money. Your money is not your money. Always thinking, what can I do good with my money? How can I help the world with my money? How can I help my friend with my money? An honey comes to your door, you say, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Otherwise, I would have spent the money on myself. And then who would have benefited? And then who would have benefited? This is the attitude. And you walk around yeshiva, and yeshiva becomes a beautiful place. And the world becomes a beautiful place. And you walk down the street, and you see a man you've never seen in the world, and you say, Shalom. I give you a bracha. Give him a bracha. Give him a bracha. Why do you give him a bracha? Wouldn't you want a bracha? That's a chaver tov. You don't want anything out of him. You're not asking. I know when somebody stops me on the street. I know, and I told the guys this before. When somebody stops me on the street and starts talking to me, I know they want my money. Mashalomcha, how are you? And this is like my father. My father would stop me on the street and ask me how I'm doing, but my father doesn't ask me for a bracha shem. He doesn't ask me for a handout. Yeah, but say a guy I don't know. A guy you don't know stops you on the street and he's friendly. What do you know? You know he wants your money. That's it. What about just being friendly? Stop him. You don't want somebody's money. Just to be a chaver. That's what Chazal want, and that's one of the 48 kinyanim of Torah, of dibuk chaver, to be dovek to your friends. And that's how you're makabel Torah. Vayichan, that you have charm in everybody else's eyes, and everybody finds charm in your eyes. And Rabbi, I have to tell you something. You guys are charming. 2, 3, 4.